Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. It's 7:15 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. This is Galesburg Live for Saturday, October 20th. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us this morning. Normally, my show is Galesburg's Evening News, weeknights from 5 to 6 p.m. If you want to give it a listen and haven't yet, please do so, especially because I'm still have a few days of filling in for Tom Meredith on Galesburg's Morning News, so you can listen to my substitute Monday and Tuesday night from 5 to 6. And, of course, I'm here this morning because I, too, didn't win the Mega Millions jackpot either, so I guess I have to work for a few more days at least. But glad to be with you this morning because this week and next, we have a couple of important interviews we're going to do. We're going to talk to some of the candidates in the November election. Next week, on the 27th, we will talk to the two candidates for state representative from the 93rd District, incumbent Noreen Hammond and opponent John Curtis, in our 7 to 9 a.m. hours on Galesburg Live next Saturday. But today, we're going to stay a little closer to home, and we're going to talk to the two candidates for Knox County Sheriff. So you're aware, there was no rhyme or reason as to how I scheduled incumbent Sheriff David Clegg and Kip Canfield, a former Galesburg police officer and works for Carl Sandburg College now. We didn't have any rhyme or reason. I just talked to who I could talk to when I could talk to them, and we got it worked out that both of them are here this morning. We'll talk to Mr. Canfield in our 8 o'clock hour, but right now, in this hour, we are talking with incumbent Knox County Sheriff David Clegg, who's here in studio. Good morning, Sheriff. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Will. Thank you very much. And I apologize for sounding like I'm talking in a tunnel. I cannot get rid of this cold of 15 days, so I apologize.
Well, AM radio makes everything sound a little better, so you've got nothing to worry about there. But hope you feel better soon. But unfortunately, at least speaking from experience, I know the harder I work or the more hours I put in, the more likely you are to never seem to get rid of that cold. And I imagine that between running the sheriff's department and campaigning and whatnot, you've probably been pretty busy the last few weeks or so.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Thank God for my wife, because as we were saying earlier, I had totally forgotten about the NAACP meet and greet last Thursday night. Mm. And on the road at 7 a.m. for Springfield to have a very lengthy meeting at the Illinois Sheriff's Association. And just about arriving there, and the wife calls and said, hey, need to remind you about the meet and greet tonight at 6. And I said, I doubt if I make it. But so, yes, you're constantly, when you think you've got some downtime, you actually don't.
I think you're safe to say that your wife Debbie's your campaign manager.
That's right.
Is that a fair statement?
Exactly.
There you go. Well, and I should say I'm going to try to pose at least some of the same questions to both you and your opponent today. But regardless of who folks support, we do appreciate those who run for public office. It's kind of one of those things that it seems, at least on the local level, it's harder and harder for people to do. So thanks again for running and for serving as long as you have, regardless of whether people out here support you or not.
Thank you, Will. It's my honor.
Talk a little bit about your background. You spent a long time with Galesburg Police.
Yes. Even going back before that, I was born and raised in Galesburg, and two houses away from where I was being raised at was a Galesburg police officer that always drove the three-wheel Harley Davidson. And at the early age of about 10, my goal was either to play professional baseball or become a cop. Well, obviously, I didn't make the professional baseball status, so every day at noon, Fred Beebe would come home driving that three-wheeler, and I'd go down and just stare at it. So I knew I was hooked. 1974, I applied for the Galesburg Police Department. 122 applicants showed up for the physical agility, and I got hired. April 8th, 1974, I was hired. Went to basic training, and from there came back, spent a year and a half on third shift, a year and a half on second shift, then went in detectives, worked detectives primarily for the remaining career that I had with Galesburg. During that time, was an agent for the multi-county drug enforcement group, better known as MEG, over mm-hmm. in Peoria, orchestrated at that particular time the largest federal drug task force deemed Iron Eagle, which encompassed not only local, state, but federal. About 2 years ago, it was still ongoing in various countries. I never had the desire to take a promotional exam until a search warrant we did over in Peoria one day on narcotics, and I thought, you know, maybe it's time. So 1997, became sergeant. A year and a half later, became lieutenant, still remained in detectives. Went to the FBI Academy out in Marine Corps base at Quantico, Virginia. 11 weeks of that proved very, very beneficial. And during also that period was the interim MEG director for about 12 months. So narcotic-wise, investigation and leadership, I got a huge taste for.
We talked a little bit off the air, and I think I worked, and again, on this program, I swear I'm going to stop bringing up the time I spent in Springfield one of these days. I swear to it. But one of the things, the most pervasive crime I saw there was mostly gun crime with shootings and murders and that sort of thing. But conversely, you've spent a lot of time, at least prior to becoming sheriff, dealing with drug crimes and things like that.
Yes.
Which of those would you say is the bigger problem in this area? Drug crimes or gun crimes, or is there some other form of crime that's a big problem that maybe we don't think about?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think that with gun crimes, that hits the news and hits it pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
The day-to-day narcotic involvement is somewhat mundane anymore, and the notification of the public doesn't receive it until once an arrest has been made and so on and so forth. But I can safely say that narcotics also involves guns most generally,
mm-hmm.
and so it carries over into the gun crimes. Another thing that we've instituted here about 4 years ago was a dedicated investigator to do nothing but searching the internet, primarily yeah. for cyber stalking of children, child pornography. And what brought that to my attention was watching the local TV news
yeah.
where they were doing a special on a small community in Iowa where this individual was arrested for child pornography, child stalking, and it was the third or fourth such arrest in this very small community. And I'm thinking, wow, if it's that prevalent there, what do we have here locally?
Sure.
And as the investigator that was assigned to that at the very beginning had said at the onset, there's enough work there for four full-time investigators.
And that's a crime that probably is the perfect example of we don't know that it's going on.
Exactly.
Because we don't necessarily see it. And that's got to be just...
Yes.
Terrifying.
Yes. And you know what? Again, in the last year, we've had, I think, two meetings, open meetings, public meetings for the mom and dad, especially to come out and say, this is what you should be looking for on your child's iPhone, on your child's computer.
Mm-hmm.
And haven't had that big of a turnout. We've also talked at the various schools, educate the kids. And that's been very rewarding. But much as you said, it doesn't really hit the news. It's a lengthy investigation. The very first case that our investigator worked dealt with a suspect in Finland, the country of
wow.
Finland. Yeah. And, you know, he has since resigned and took a position with the Illinois Attorney General's office
yeah.
doing the exact same thing that he was doing here. So we're in the process of training. But that is kind of a... pardon the term, unsung crime that we are involved in daily.
You touched on something there that I thought maybe I'd bring up later, but I'll bring it up now. You've mentioned meetings you've had with the public, and unfortunately some of those haven't been maybe, as you said, as well attended as you would like, and you've gone into schools and things like that. Is outside of fighting crime, obviously, is that the most important thing you can do, is to do that sort of public outreach, or is being out on the street patrolling and that sort of thing, is that more important?
Well, that's a tough one to answer. you know, there's always a need for the cooperation of the citizens with any law enforcement group, whether it's Knox County Sheriff, whether it's Gales Police, whether it's the state police. That's where community policing becomes heavily involved at. So there is a specific need to alert the public on various incidences. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that patrol officer that is out patrolling the back roads and, you know, the fields and farms, that's very important also. To go back, and I don't want to take all the time, but
no, sure.
Shortly after becoming sheriff in 2007, one of the first phone calls I received was from a gentleman, a farmer, who gave this scenario as to what had happened. He had seen where somebody had driven off the gravel road and plowed down several yards of his fence. So he called the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department came out. He had done a little investigative. The farmer had done some investigative work beforehand. There was a trail of oil from apparently dropping the oil pan from the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So the deputy never got out of his car, took the information. Farmer kept saying, you know, it's just down the road. I'll take you there. And the deputy said, no, that's all right, leaves and goes the opposite direction. End of story. The farmer says he went down, upset, but he went down, followed the trail of oil, and about 2 miles away, there sits an abandoned vehicle with heavy front end damage. I said, well, you know, we can come out. Why? You didn't do anything the first time.
Yeah.
So he ended up taking a little action on his own and pulled the car back and put it in a shed and figured the rightful owner would be showing up for it. So, end of story. Where I'm going with that is
that, I wouldn't be so sure that he would show up for it, but okay.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't either. But there is a need for the community, for the police involvement with the community. You know, you have to take that complaint serious. You have to do, as a patrol officer, do a little investigation. You know, I've always been a strong, strong advocate that if you're wanting to be a detective, show what you have as a patrolman.
Yeah.
Go out and initiate an investigation, and that was not done. So I think that there's what you can say about the need for patrol. You can also say about the need of community involvement.
It sounds like you're telling me, though, just through that perhaps when you took over as sheriff, you kind of had to change the mindset or the focus of the department, or at least of the deputies, that maybe they had to be a little more involved than perhaps they had been in the past.
Well, yes, and I'm not trying to blow my own horn, because the horn needs to be blown by the employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the very beginning, it was a tough road. When I got sworn in as the sheriff, and I joke about it, but it was true, I'm immediately told that I have a $4 million budget that was overdue. I was told that I have three different unions, the Fraternal Order of Police, the AFSCME, and the Policeman's Benevolent Protective Association,
mm-hmm.
that represents 99% of my employees. All three were ready to sit down for negotiations. And fourth was that I had a primary to run in 6 months. So, you know, it was off to a running start.
That would have been enough for me to decide, you know what, I'll just take this job for a few months and somebody else can have it for a full term.
But, you know, I got thinking, if I was an employee of any sheriff's department in the state of Illinois, knowing that every 4 years, potentially, I would have a new boss, it would be a very difficult job.
Yeah.
So where I'm going with this is that the negotiations helped, because that gave them, the members, a sense as to where I was coming from. And within a year and a half, everybody was pretty much on board. They're doing a superb job. And it's just not my leadership. It's my administrators that see to it every day in and day out as the job that they do.
I need to take a break here. But
sure.
Before I do that, I'll just ask one more question here, maybe kind of going back into the background sort of thing here. What led you to decide to kind of retire from your role with the Galesburg Police Department and take on becoming Knox County Sheriff?
At the time when I retired, I thought I was probably going to golf for 6 months and learn to shovel snow better and ever during the wintertime. And at the time, the sheriff of Knox County had resigned, and it created a vacancy, which is fulfilled by the Knox County coroner. So legally, the party in which that sheriff was affiliated had to make a recommendation to the full board for approval.
Mm-hmm.
So I was approached, was asked. I think there were 16 that showed up for interviews with the Democratic Party. I got the unanimous nod and unanimously was voted in as sheriff by the Knox County Board.
But what made you say, you know, maybe I'm going to go through with this? One, knowing that there was 15 other people that wanted the same job you wanted.
You know, I think that, first of all, as a Galesburg cop, I had two excellent chiefs,
mm-hmm.
the late Jim Frakes,
mm-hmm.
and Chief John Schloff. They gave me a lot of insight as to being a leader, what to do, what not to do. And the FBI Academy really brought home a lot of unanswered questions that I had as far as a desire to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And so through the training that I had, I thought, what better combination than to go with a broader area that would have coverage for the sheriff, a department that may not seek my help, and go from there. And I think it's worked out great for not only me, but for the citizens of Knox County and the employees.
I want to talk about working both together and separately with Galesburg Police and other departments around the area and touch on some other issues as well. But first, I need to take a break here. We are talking with Knox County Sheriff David Clegg. He is running for another term. We will talk to his opponent, Kip Canfield, in our 8 o'clock hour, but we'll continue with our conversation with Sheriff Clegg following a check of local news next on WGIL. It is 7:32. Good morning.
WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
It's 7:38 at WGIL. This is Galesburg Live. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us today. This week and next week, we're talking election and the November election. And then I imagine soon after that, we'll talk about the municipal elections because they're right around the corner, too. But for the next 2 weeks, we're talking to candidates, specifically this week, the candidates for Knox County Sheriff. Next week, the candidates for state representative from the 93rd District. We are talking now with incumbent Knox County Sheriff David Clegg. We'll talk to Kip Canfield in our 8 o'clock hour. Sheriff, before the break, we were kind of talking about your background and what possessed you to run. I'm kind of curious, now that you've been both on the Galesburg Police side of things and on the Sheriff's Department side of things, are there differences in terms of operational or how you have to think of the departments operating? Or, I mean, I imagine law enforcement is kind of pretty much the same no matter where you go. You have to follow the law, but are there differences in how the two agencies are run?
You know, the primary goal for both is a safe living place, whether it's Galesburg residents or Knox County residents.
Mm-hmm.
Many years back, when the fuel cost started soaring and
yeah.
cost of vehicles started soaring, it was suggested by a county board member at the time that the sheriff's departments should trade in their vehicles and have horses.
Oh, goodness.
I
was afraid you were going to say that, like with Springfield Police, they started using kerosene or some other form of fuel in their vehicles because
right.
it cost
right.
less and was more energy efficient. I was afraid you were going to say that.
No. So there are different issues, you know, paved roads versus gravel roads. Roads that are typically cleared of snow within the first 24 hours compared to drifts of snow that are 8 feet deep that may be cleared within 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
because due to the 720 square miles of the Knox County borders. The same goal, the same principles are there. It may be achieved a little bit differently. You know, if Galesburg has reoccurring incidences in a same geographical location, that can be flooded either by foot patrol, bicycle patrol, motorcycle patrol. It's a little bit different in the county.
Maybe a horse.
Yeah, maybe a horse. Another suggestion once was motorcycles. Mm. But again, I'll
stress. So it's really just the difference between rural versus urban then.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That said, I imagine there are times when you have to work hand in hand with Galesburg Police and maybe even the other departments, Knoxville, East Galesburg, Abingdon, that sort of thing. Talk a little bit about that and discuss kind of how you see your department's relationship with those departments.
I think, I know for sure that the relationship, whether it's Galesburg, Knoxville, Abingdon, Williamsfield, is a very good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said in the past, our investigators host a monthly intelligence meeting for all the counties, which incorporate, or all the counties, all the municipalities within the community here in Knox County, Peoria County, and it's been very successful. Galesburg, in the event that they have a serious situation and they need quick manpower, they'll call upon us to come in, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. If we have something that we, and the same thing holds true. Everybody is short helped at the time, whether it's Galesburg, whether it's us, state police. So in the county, if we go on a call, say at 2 a.m., domestic battery, both parties are still there, depending upon the location, but let's just say we're 5 miles outside of Abingdon, an Abingdon officer will come out.
Mm-hmm.
So the working relationship, which includes the state police, is, in my opinion, very good.
In terms of staffing, I know it's come up in a couple of the candidates' forums. I don't think Galesburg Police is quite at full force yet. I think they're pretty close. Are you at full force, and are you close to it? And then I have a follow-up for that.
Correction-wise, we had been four short for several months.
So in the jail portion?
Yes.
Okay.
Which then increases your overtime, which it has gone out of sight, and we had been two or three short for patrol. We are one short of being flush now.
Okay.
On patrol side.
So that's probably about as good as you could hope for at this moment.
Yes.
I ask that because, and I know this came up in the forum that we put on live here on WGIL a few weeks or week or so ago. A day or so after that, I was here downtown at, I'll say, an undisclosed location getting lunch, and I heard some people sitting at a table talking that they had heard this forum, and from their perspective, all you wanted to do was hire more people and spend more money and result in taxes being raised. And I don't want to sound biased or in favor of you or whoever or whatever, but I remember thinking to myself, if only it were that simple.
Well,
that you just want to spend money for the sake of spending money and hire as many officers as you can stand.
Several things. The budget is governed by the county board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any administrator sits down, it's a roll of the dice. You know, all you are doing is hoping that your projections are within range. And you submit that to the county board. They review it. They either add or they subtract. And that's where we're currently at now. In fact, I've got a second budget meeting with them Tuesday night. So that is controlled by the county board. Taxes are controlled by the county board. The only tax that I went out and solicited for was the public safety tax.
Yeah.
And that was for the 911. Had the overall population felt that it wasn't necessary, by now we would not have had a 911 system in Knox County.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, four short in corrections. So I have a union that mandates X number of people on the floor at all times. So when you're four short, you know, that's one per shift plus one, and you have to either have people come back on their days off, or if they're working second shift, they're held over and you're paying time and a half. So that becomes very costly. And the same holds true with patrol. Even though there's no requirement as the staffing limitations, but if one patrolman is up north on a serious incident, another one's down south on a serious incident, you've got to have other people available, so you have to make phone calls to get people to come back in. So it's unfortunate that the people think that I want to hire people. I want to hire people to get us to full staffing, period.
Is full staffing subjective, though, to a point, or how much is reality versus, you know, in a dream environment, if you will?
I guess I'm dreaming. you know, for years, the Merit Commission, which are responsible for providing me a list of qualified applicants, would typically meet and test once every 2 years. And I think so far this year, we've tested three times because no one is interested in the field of law enforcement.
Why do you think that is?
I think the current conditions of law enforcement being ambushed, shot, you know, granted, we all take that in consideration. But as far as reality, it's starting to become more of a reality every day.
That's quite a change from when you were telling me you were testing to be a Galesburg officer and there were 120 people that applied.
Exactly, exactly.
What other issues, you know, forget I said that. I'm going to take a break, then I'll ask you that question about what other issues you see and things that you think you might work on if you're reelected and that sort of thing. But we'll take one more break here. We're talking with Sheriff David Clegg, running for another term as Knox County Sheriff here on Galesburg Live.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Nine before eight. This is Galesburg Live on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Our final few minutes here with Knox County Sheriff David Clegg before we switch to his opponent, Kip Canfield, in the 8 o'clock hour. So in the interest of time, Sheriff, I'll just go ahead and ask you here. What do you see as priority number one for you if you're elected to another term?
Priority number one is to continue making citizens of Knox County a safe place to reside, to raise your children, and to travel freely without any problems.
How do you do that?
Training of patrol, training of investigators. You know, the training today that is required versus of 20 years ago, it's astronomical. And two things that I'll touch upon very quickly regarding to the training, and it also involves correctional officers. That state law mandates training on six different areas yearly. So the mandation, the training is great. There's no questioning there. The problem comes with, okay, you've got somebody working third shift. The class is only available, say, in Chicago from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Well, you're paying travel time. You're paying overtime. You're paying tuition. So all of that is null and void because we are members of the Illinois Training Board, which sublets as far as mobile training units, which we pay a minimal fee, about $4,200 a year membership, which provides certified trainers, those classes that are mandated, and at times in which are more affordable for all officers to attend. So it saves the county thousands and thousands of dollars, of which I believe so strongly in the training that I had been the past chairman of the mobile training unit, which covers Knox County, and now Governor Rauner has appointed me to the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board, which mandates the training. So training is the backbone of every organization, whether law enforcement, your business, any business. And I think, too, that computers, you know, everything now is electronic. And whereas when I started out, we used to write reports with an ink pen. And then we went to a typewriter. And then we went to hog heaven and had an electrical typewriter. Now everything's stored in the cloud, which, God forbid, it rains. You push send, and somehow that report goes from my computer over to Galesburg, which houses all of our reports. It's phenomenal. And what else can happen? You know, the computers for kids nowadays, you know, as we discussed early at the beginning of this, the problems there, the need of being one step ahead of that criminal when it comes to interaction amongst a juvenile and an adult on a computer.
Right.
So it's a never, I think, training, obviously the education of how to speak with people. I think today's general population, the millennials, they're more interested in texting as opposed to speaking. So
you've mentioned that you spend a lot of time in Springfield. I know you've been to Washington on a number of occasions and things of that nature. Should the folks who elect you be concerned that there are these times, and they may be considerable amounts of time, that you're not in the office?
No, they should not be. And I could run through the list, and I don't know how much time we have.
Just a couple of minutes.
As I have said to them before, every chair, every committee that I sit on is a direct reflection to the community. That they have another voice, whether it's making of a law, interpretation of a law, through me, not just through representatives and senators. The 911 Oversight Committee in Springfield, appointed by the governor 4 years ago. How important is that to Knox County? It's very important.
Right.
At the time, that law was sunsetting. A new law had to be developed, and we developed it.
You're running as a Democrat. Your opponent is a Republican. I've never for the life of me understood why a political party matters when you're running for, albeit a political office, but one that is tasked with upholding the law.
And I agree. The only thing that, I guess the only response is, hundreds of years ago, is a constitutionally appointed position, which deemed it to be political. And it's unfortunate that it has to be that way.
As the saying goes, and I think I say this frequently around work, mistakes have been made. Would you say that there are things you would do differently? Would you say that you've made mistakes as sheriff, and what would you do differently?
Oh, I'd be an idiot for saying I have made. You learn from making mistakes. Some of the mistakes have been appointing people to a position in which maybe he or she didn't want to do. You know, I'll just use this as a detective. You had to have the desire to be on call 24 hours a day and to be answering calls and maybe being called out at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Me too. Yeah. Completely different job, but go on.
So if you put somebody in there that may not have that desire, you've just wasted time and money. What concerns me is the pay in which we pay our deputies, whether it's correction, courthouse security, or patrol. Is it equivalent to surrounding areas? And we invest a lot of money in training, and then they get offered a better job and leave.
All right. In 30 seconds, before we wrap up, tell me or tell everyone why you should be elected for another term.
Proven leader, 45 years in law enforcement, ranging from working counterterrorism for the government out in Washington, D.C., to drug enforcement. Been the sheriff for 12 years, and it would be an honor and a privilege to be reelected as your sheriff of Knox County.
Sheriff David Clegg, thank you so much for your time and for agreeing to talk with us here in Galesburg Live.
Thank you very much, Will.